Hi, welcome to On Writing, your fortnightly podcast about writing communities and the terrible advice they give. And can I see some ID? Do you have your cover on it? They got some good bands playing tonight. I'm telling you, it's worth it for like the $40. Just saying. I'm Sean. He him.
I am Chad. He him.
And I'm MJ. She her.
And yes, today we're talking about gatekeeping in writing communities, which is a concept that is kind of ontologically difficult because these writing communities on surface levels exposit that they are doing the opposite of gatekeeping, gaslighting, and girl bossing, right? That they're like, anyone can write. You can write. Come on, share your stuff. Only positive feedback, right? Like, and that is nominally the opposite of gatekeeping, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, gatekeeping still exists at a potent valence in this.
I have two, like, just very abstract examples, but I challenge you to take these examples out into the wild and see what happens. The first is, are you, not conditionally, but both generally and universally in defense of adverbs, and see what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Second, go into any of these writing communities and ask them what they think of your idea defending English colonialism during the Opium Wars. Right? I want to do like a fantasy setting about like the heroes that conquered fantasy China, right? And like see what they say. Now, I'm not saying that England were the good guys when they colonized everything, okay? I'm just saying watch how fast suddenly any idea is a good idea to these people.
Mm-hmm. Or stops being a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and I think there's also something more pernicious at work, and that's like the attribution that absolutely everything is gatekeeping. Because there's a lot of like filtering processes that do occur. Right. So, for instance, like your ability to give critique in a lot of these servers is like mediated on like the amount that the admins like you and the amount that your critique makes
ennobles
the
person.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Like how much exaltation you've thrown at their feet where like you have to walk up and lay the palm leaves on the ground and say, oh, mighty Caesar, fine though it be, a few flaws that are probably due to your Grecian slaves. Mm-hmm. I did appear in your great work.
Yeah, you really have to be a little bit circuitous about the whole deal and be like, overall, I thought it was interesting, right? Like, which is the most damning with faint praise thing you can possibly say.
Yeah, if anybody ever tells me that overall they thought that my manuscript was interesting, I'm just going to reach through the computer and kill you.
Someone literally said that back in the day on, I think it was right after you got banned from one of these servers. Someone said that, like, I thought their work was good and quoted, like, me saying, like, overall, I think it has a lot of potential, right? Like,
yeah, and it's all like, oh, you know what? I'm going to gatekeep right now. Maybe you're not qualified to write if you can't read between lines.
That's not even reading between the lines, right? Like, what it literally is saying is that it's not good now. But mm-hmm. when looked at holistically, there might be a good novel out of there eventually, right? Like,
okay, so it's kind of like how elephant ears go into I can't remember what tea it is, taro tea, where you look at the elephant ear and you go, okay, there's something edible in that horrible noxious poisonous plant that consumes everything in its path in its current form. I need a weed whacker, but we can do something with this.
Mm-hmm. You don't eat the whole potato, right? Like, the potato plant part is toxic and will give you bad tummy problems, right? It'll give you the you're going to die disease where tummy hurt. But the delicious starchy root at the bottom, that part's great, right?
Now, well, it's, more so than the overall comment, I think the more damning one is to say, oh, you were so brave to share that, so courageous.
You were so brave.
So
the
brave.
Fucking, like, ultimate, like, nega maneuver, yeah, that always rocks, right? Like,
mm-hmm. I need
shows
to start,
a lot of courage.
I need to start putting that into my armory, right? Be like, somebody shows that and be like, first of all, I feel honored that you would trust me with
this.
That. But, like, yeah, but I have to drag that out and be like,
That's not just a joke. We got that. MJ, you encountered this in the wild, right?
Oh, I see this all the time for poetry. Like, if you have a very, like, personal poem that you don't want critique on, and it's very, like, sad and about your trauma and stuff, people will, continuously say, oh, you're brave. Oh, I'm so proud of you for sharing that. It's so strong. And it's like, I never want anyone to say, like, you're brave for sharing your poetry. I want people to say, like, your shit is good. I'm so glad you shared it because it rocks. Not because I am a brave soul to share my depression thoughts with you. I don't know.
Like, that's literally the fucking, like, red pill Meg thing, that it's like, OMG, you're so brave going out with that dress, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally just like attack their self-esteem perpendicularly, right? Like,
it reminds me of all the way back to the most ancient and revered of all of the Elder Scrolls games, number 3, El Morrowind. Mm-hmm. The voice actor of the Imperials, these are just Romans for those that don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The voice actor for the Imperials had this incredible condescension about him. And Gwar are a pack animal in that game. Mm-hmm. And if you walk up with really shitty clothes, one of his ambient responses is this wonderfully delivered, I admire your creativity, but Gwar blankets aren't for wearing.
Yeah, right, like, yes, and going back to the principle of gatekeeping, there is a principle of gatekeeping at work, and that's like the promotion schema in these things, because generally writing communities should be places where you can like source submissions like and get feedback efficiently. And I said that it was your ability to do that and receive that is conditional upon like the server admin's like opinion of you in a lot of these situations, and like personal popularity doesn't matter as much as like the favor of the organizational popularity, right? Like,
yeah, there's definitely a lot of ex cathedra that requires a lot of Chad nailing 99 theses on like server doors.
the argument against promotion is the most pernicious thing, because obviously that's what like you should want to do as a writer, right? Like that's your first prerogative. And I want to give a critical example. This escaped the scams episode, but it was a good example of the gatekeeping thing in process. There was a server, and you were able to access the self-promotion thread for a lot of server points. So you needed to play the stupid like mini game in the server that wasn't involved with giving crit or anything like that. It was just involved with like logging in and like hitting a button and playing the Pokemon mini game in it.
Okay.
And this is a writing server, I will testify. It has a quill as its icon. I'm not shitting you. You are like required to play Pokemon in order to get server points to do self-promotion. And, like, I had seen it used for people like, hey, here's the first chapter of my novel on, like Gumroad or whatever. Here's my art commission page. Here's my social medias to follow me as the next chapters of my book come out. And I'm like, okay, fine. Doesn't seem to be worth the points, especially because no one goes to this thread because it is inherently siloed and uninteresting, critically. But it also was a big fucking issue, because this is one of the times when I actually went, mods, because someone posted up their fucking, like, finance scam, their fucking, like, crypto MLM shit, and it stayed up for, like, a week. And, like, the whole premise is that was allowed because even the mods don't give a shit about clicking on anything in there to see this is a crypto scam. Like, this guy's literally advertising his, like, offshore safe crypto, buy now with only a debit card type shit. And it's like, no, this is illegal, right? Like, don't do this. The IRS is, like, coming for you right now. And I had to be like, fire in the boroughs, fire in the old Bailey.
You know, right? No, I remember this because Sean was like, his fucking Paul Revere's ride reached me about this. Because partially because he knows that because he was in there, that was pissing off his NSA handler, and he needed to clean the sheets real bad, right? Because he's all like, over Discord, he's out of breath going, Chad, the Naruto writers, they're doing crypto cons. Yeah. We're all going to jail, and they don't understand. And I think he's in Iran.
Yeah. Well, that was a different guy who was who was no shit like an Iranian citizen who was asking people to like direct message him shit over Discord to get around the sanctions.
Yeah, his message and shit were like, haha, hey, could you guys message me? Preferably nobody that's familiar with, like, international sanction law. Ha. Yeah, not that relevant.
Yeah, that was funny, because that was one where, MJ, you were on the server at the time, and I, like, called you when I saw the post, and I was like, you need to get off the server! Everyone get off the server! Run! Right? Like,
I remember
yeah,
this,
like, yeah. You can literally see the black bags being thrown over people's heads as they log off.
Well, like, less so that they'd be, to put it in non-hyperbolic terms, right? Like, you're not gonna get wet-worked, but at the same time, this is, like, this is a crime. Right, like, whatever your position on, like, an international sanctions regime is, this is not, like, a coherent, like, functional response to that, right? Like, all you are doing is demonstrating ways in which the sanction regime can be tightened, and what you are doing in your own country's criminal code is a crime, mm-hmm. like, per se, right? If you're part of one of the fucking, like, Five Eyes countries or an Interpol signatory country, then you violating sanctions by sending this dude, like, a print screen of, like, the Merriam-Webster thing is actually, like, not legal, right?
Well, the most important thing to keep in mind is kind of like using certain websites to watch streams of things you're not supposed to, and we're not officially condoning that. Generally speaking, the people on the server aren't going to get into hot water for the most part. But if you're an admin and you're tolerating that, you are, like, totally at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because a Discord has made it clear that, like, there's nothing private about anything you've ever sent.
Oh, yeah, right? Of course.
They're like, yeah, no, we basically just, like, we went over to Mervin Khan, we borrowed those tubes he invented, we plug your texts, yeah, we plug your texts up to this tube, and they just spray all over the FBI office.
Yeah, one says NSA, one says FBI. The FBI one, it's actually been clogged for weeks, but the FBI still says they're getting stuff, and so we think it's fine. There's a squirrel, like, that's about to fall into the pool, and he's he's so precarious. This is my save the cat right now. Is that squirrel about to fall?
Yeah, I suppose I should. That's actually a good chance to inform everybody that there's been a new adoption in my household, because this cat just emerged from the brush, very skinny with matted hair, and trying to meow, but it was too dehydrated to meow. Aww. And it was like 99 degrees in Louisiana weather. Which, for those who don't know, I need you to imagine what it feels like for lobsters when they're being cooked. That's mm-hmm. what the outside was like. So I was like, okay, she can be a garage cat until, like, she gets some meat back on her. Anyway, long story short, she's named after the main character of the three-body problem now, and she lives
in Wang Meow, fuck yeah.
Yeah, Wang Meow. And she can meow now.
Nice.
She's...
And so, yes, fourth member of the podcast, meow, she, her, right? Extremely she, her, right?
Yeah, extremely she, her. That was a dark week. Today I learned there's a horrifying parallel between, like, toothaches and cat horny. Also, I found out that, like, cats will just crap in random places that aren't their litter box when they're in heat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? Google, tell me why. And it said, that's to attract males. And I went, male cats, no, no, you stop that. That's disgusting. Right, like, I don't know. I guess they're all Johnny Depps or something.
Well, they also, oh, like, poop random places if they're mad about some random thing, like you change their food. They're like, I'm going to poop on your bed now.
Yeah. maybe Johnny Depp should have just fucking gotten her, like, some more Twinkies or something. I don't know. Very cool cat will appear on the podcast right now. Very mad that Fury Road is over and that I'm not painting miniature models. Speaking of Fury Road, so I was watching Fury Road earlier with my brother and Meow. It's not Meow, it's Meow. Okay, don't be Sinophobic. So we're watching Fury Road, and you know what I realized in Fury Road? That is very possibly the first piece of fiction ever to have a Chekhov's bolt cutter. Yeah. It's introduced in the first act that there's a bolt cutter, and he hopes that they can use it to break his chain, and then they put the bolt cutter up, and you are aware of its existence, and then it becomes key to separating, like, their truck from something that's hooked onto it later. So it was introduced in the first act, and then didn't fire, but, like, clinched in the third act. there was also a Chekhov's gout, where, like, this dude named the People Eater is revealed to have like these giant bubos or whatever on his fucking thigh or on his ankles, and he can't move, and he has like these war boys come out and tend to them, but it only appears for like one scene. And then later, when Max needs this car to go somewhere after the People Eater is dead, he picks up this gout-ridden foot and puts it on the pedal and then jumps out of the car. And I'm like, and I turn to my brother and go, that's also Chekhov's gout! which is interesting because that also... Oh, and if you haven't seen Fury Road, sorry for the spoilers, that the People Eater dies.
oh my god.
And if you haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road, but you have these friends that won't stop going, I live, I die, I live again, or witness me, let me explain what the draw is to Mad Max Fury Road. It is The Handmaid's Tale for 40K fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very literally. But it also connects to gatekeeping because, like, Chekhov's gun is an example of, like, this vernacular gatekeeping that exists. And in my humble, very humble opinion, a good writing community is built up by a number of people who assert something and then critically defend it the same way, like, an ideal science journal is done. And the merit of that argument is the only way it lives or dies.
Mm.
And if somebody else says, that's not true because you're wrong, and he gets 1,000 upvotes, the community is supposed to say, okay, well, you're wrong because upvotes don't fucking mean anything. No, that's never going to fucking happen, right? But, like, that's ideally the way it should be done. But you get this huge group of people who have, like, no expertise whatsoever. No serious understanding of any of this. And I'm not saying you have to be an expert. But if you want to tell people, if you want to assert something and you get challenged on it, then back up your fucking argument with something. I'm not going to say cite your sources because that's such an internet shorthand for I am the biggest asshole that's ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
You two must have run into that where you're like, oh, hey, did you hear that, like, Pete Rose isn't allowed in the Hall of Fame? They're like, source. And it's like, you need a source for Pete Rose being banned from the Hall of Fame? Have you been living under a fucking rock? No, I'm not giving you a source. Go fucking Google Pete Rose, you fucking animal.
Yeah. I think the corollary about that is that, like, there's a lot of shit you don't need to source, right? Like, or you could describe in terms of the source is, like, self-explanatory. But giving concrete sources will always, like, support your argument, assuming the source says what you say it does, right? Like, and obviously there's a whole category of people who are, like, not capable of reading, bravery in posting that up, having a lot of potential notwithstanding, right? Like, but I think that you're right that, like, the sea lioning, right, like, source, back up your argument thing, like, is contingent on, like, the narrative space and is, like, a crucial kind of, like, it is, in fact, a kind of gatekeeping because it's, like, changing the definition of what the discursive space is, right? And, like, the nature of the discursive space is as important as the discourse itself, right? This is kind of the opposite of what we said about, like, tone policing, right? Like, if I, for instance, say, like, world-building 10,000 pages in your notebook and never writing a single story in it, but just having ideas for the story that you want to be, like, a film series, a comic book, a MMO, and a, like, audio drama is, like, a waste of your time. Like, and you say, well, like, debate me on it or, like, do this whole thing. I don't have to debate you on it, right? Like, I'm, like, we're all, like, willing participants. And just the crucial thing about debate, and this is, like, always forgotten in, like, the world of, like, internet debate, debate depends on stasis, right? You that or stasis, right? Because you got to say it all cool in Latinate or Greek. I don't remember. if any of your friends who are experts on that shit are listening, Chad, I am sorry. But yes, stasis. Stasis is the principle in debate that you come in with an agreement of definitions. And Discord debate never, ever, 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 full stop, has that ever, period.
Oh,
never.
No.
Not once.
They actively don't want that to exist in any meaningful way because they want you two to be talking about different things because they've, like, laid trap cards for that, right? Where you're like, well, I mean, I think Nier Automata as a game is kind of postmodern. And they're like, I got you, you fucking Nazi. You watch too much Jordan Peterson. Mods, mods the Nazi, please. Man, I'm good at debating.
That's so fucking personally triggering right now. Because MJ, what were we talking about like 2 days ago, yesterday?
We were talking about a lot of things yesterday.
Okay, but specifically about postmodernism.
Oh, we were having this whole like conversation of whether it was modernism or postmodernism that introduced or like popularized intertextuality.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation that we were talking about?
Yes.
Yes, because you can argue that like James Joyce is intertextual, especially in something like Dubliners, more so than Ulysses. And Ulysses can even be argued to
Dubliners
be intertextual.
Rules. Read that instead of Ulysses.
Dubliners
it's funny
is better.
Because what I thought MJ was about to say was all like, was very aptly, even Ulysses, and you know, Ulysses can eat my ass.
Deep cut there. James Joyce has some really weird fetishes. I haven't read...
Oh, God, no! No! Jimmy, no!
Chad, you went there by accident.
I went there by accident. Oh, God, no!
He delayed that. All right.
Oh, God, no. Like, what that sound that you heard in the distance that Sean is going to edit out was the inquisitive creaking of Joyce's coffin.
Or meow noises.
Yeah,
know,
I say
right?
I say that, and he goes, "Go on."
Right, like, but yes, yeah. The specific context of our discussion was like not just intertextuality, but like the hyper epistolary, right? Where it's not just like one media form, right? Like with interruptions, it's like you can't identify a singular form of the novel because it's so epistolary, right?
Yeah,
right.
And the similar example I did come up with and I think is very apt is At Swim Two Birds, which is this Irish postmodern novel that's really crazy and has lots of like different quotes and things like interspersed with the text. And that was like, but the book it was about was War of the Newts, which I highly recommend. Totally awesome, like early sci-fi novel.
Yeah, phenomenal book, 10 out of 10.
If you cut out like every third page and paste it on a corkboard, does it spell out fuck England?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, full on
yeah,
does.
Yeah. Like, I know how there's this comedian that I love named Colin Quinn who did this wonderful one-man show on HBO called Long Story Short where he basically talks about the history of the world but through and for comedic effect.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's going over all these nations, he lands on Ireland and he goes, and I think the Irish people made their opinion abundantly clear by spending 300 years writing poems about how much they hate England. You can't walk around Dublin without somebody going, tell me, what rhymes with fuck off back to England, you cunt?
Yeah.
Well, the newts are pro this stance. The newts, the talking newts that learn how to use weapons, blockade the English, but not the Irish Free State. So go newts.
Yeah. Yeah, also, when we say newts, you should be visualizing a Namazu, Chad. That,
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's kind of what I assumed. 100%
what they are, is that
they're
like
giant salamanders.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's kind of what I assumed, and I'm loving the idea of Namazu fucking rolling up to England and going, wow, these waters are for Norwegian fishers now.
This is bad. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You should share some of that food with the Isle of Arran.
And looping it back to like gatekeeping, and we're talking about like definitions, right? Like, there is a critical point in like stasis and stasis. Fuck! Every time I say it, I read it out loud in my head, and then say the wrong one, even though that makes no fucking sense, right? Like, the principle of stasis means you have to have like, before you introduce the concept of something like postmodernism, you need to have like agreed on what postmodernism is. Right, like, and this is something that's absent in a lot of like famous internet debates. Obviously, the one being like the Zizek Peterson one, where it's clear that like Peterson hasn't done the reading and Zizek is just there for a check, right? That he's just like, I'm gonna get paid, it's fine, right? Like, I don't actually care if you've read like Capital Volume 2 or whatever, it's cool, right?
Which is also funny because you're on the internet, you've probably watched that debate. or YouTube has its, or YouTube at some point has made you watch the debate where you're like, because you're like, man, this sure is a lot of really cool outdoor survival stuff about like how a guy in his fishing pole in Alaska somehow turns into like a Minecraft city. This has been Zizek Peterson debate.
Wow, historic fucking like martial arts and metallurgy. I love this. Wow, the case for the white race. That's crazy, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. The first time
fucking Jordan Peterson got retweeted or whatever the fuck you call it on Threads, I was like, I am done with Threads now. Yeah, re-threaded. I don't know what the fuck you call that, but someone shared it. I was like, and it was someone I followed.
It was a really bad, dumb one.
It was so bad. I'm like, I can't follow you on like a non-picture social media because you just usually just post pictures of ocean and I'm cool with that. But you also like Jordan Peterson? Okay.
Are you sure it wasn't a quote by Hunter Biden? It's really hard to tell
them apart. Yeah,
like Sean and I played a game of is it Jordan Peterson or Hunter Biden, and we did not score above C's.
No, it was consistently, it's not possible. It can't be done.
Which makes me wonder if, like, what was... Okay, I'm going to posit a weird theory that Hunter Biden is taking a fall as, like, a deep mole for conservatives.
God.
And that on his laptop was a video of fucking Jordan Peterson getting railed by a hooker.
Well, we know he's got substance abuse issues, right? Like, maybe he don't got... Or maybe this is a fucking, like, Tyler Durden situation, right? Ooh. Like,
holy shit, what if fucking Joe Biden just called up his son and went... I need you to lay low for a little while. So he went up to Canada and, like, took on a Kermit the Frog voice. Right? Like, that's how he lays low.
Jung says, whatever. Have we seen Hunter Biden say Jung? Can we see that?
Oh, right? That's an excellent point.
Can we play
point,
the
then.
Tapes, right? Like, I feel like that could break it right there.
No, but if you've watched the debate, the conversation could have even been coherent and I don't say this insultingly because this is a very valid time to use the term coherent versus incoherent.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incoherent conversation because they were talking about two different things.
Yeah.
Right? And Zizek and Peterson didn't get any closer to understanding each other because the phenomenon that Peterson was describing were like purely upper middle class urban social phenomenon, and Zizek was describing like when fucking Slavs get fucking sick of it and eat Czech people.
Yeah, like that's like a whole fucking core of the thesis is that they're fundamentally talking past each other, and like even terms like revolution are not, they don't have an agreed principle between the two of them, right? This is where it gets kind of odd in terms of gatekeeping, because it is like there is an important characteristic of like gatekeeping for debate, that to be allowed into a debate you need to prove that you're like a good like debater. And I don't mean like you're good at debate, right? That you're like hashtag destroy
the
college
students. And also,
students.
By the way, none of you fucking morons are as good at debate as you think you are. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, they might be, but the thing is most people haven't done a fucking debate, right? Because debate is like a lot less about like, you know, gish galloping people and talking over their points and pulling a lot of points quickly, and more about like being able to like carefully, reasonably, and structurally present a series of points that are then judged by an independent moderating staff.
No. All of you have gone like a lot less my cousin Vinny style in your legal arguments, and a lot more Judd Nelson's from the hip in your law style.
Yeah.
Right? Your debate style is the victim is in the audience, and then when all of the jurors look over, you go, if you looked over, you have reasonable doubt. And it's like, that's not a valid debate tactic, dude. Right? Like, also, that's like 60 years of contempt I'm putting you in, because that's lame as shit.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the, you can't fire someone on April Fool's. That is, in fact, like an illegal dismissal, right? Like, but it was April Fool's. It was just a prank. It appears that you did, in fact, illegally fire them, though. Right?
Oh yeah. Like, by the way, while we're on the topic, this is going to be the one time I fall in line with the socialists. If you're at a McDonald's and you see one of those signs that say like this is a no quit zone, you just tear that fucking shit down and you shit in the Frosty machine. Right, like nothing has ever made me like fucking suddenly like Hulk out and a red shirt comes out and I'm like a beautiful blonde haired man with like my Chinese laborer husband breaking chains.
And you got like your sledgehammer and sickle.
Exactly. And I'm like, workers, it's time, right? But as soon as I get out to the parking lot, I recede back to my normal self.
Oh, Jesus Christ, what happened?
Yeah, I'm like, get the fuck away from me, you Guevaran monsters.
I think that's like, that's especially pernicious because like even McDonald's should want their employees aspirationally to quit, right? Like, they shouldn't want like lifers. There's no McDonald's pension plan, right? Like at the fry cook level, right? Like, come on.
Remember, if you're thinking of quitting, you can't. It's against policy unless you give a 2-week notice. Oh, wow. I don't give a fuck. Anyway.
Yeah, and like the thing about that with food service is that like I've worked a few food service jobs. MJ, you have too, right? Like those motherfuckers ain't giving you 2 weeks when they fire you, right?
No.
Well, and I told the story about the pizza parlor that I worked at. There comes a point when like you're sitting there soulless going, if I can just make it through today, it'll be okay. If I get some rest, I can come in tomorrow. And then some 7-year-old walks in and goes, hi. And you go, hi. Pizza's good. Yeah, it is. And he just fucking pukes on your shoes and you go, all right, that's it. We're done. We're done. I can't do this anymore.
This far and no further. Yeah.
Okay, I actually have a great story that I was told. Okay, it's kind of a sad story, but it's a great story my mother told me from when she used to work at Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a fucking hard road to hoe, but yeah.
Way back in the day. So, you know, people would come out dressed as Chuck E. Cheese and they do like the song and dance and shit and be like, they're not allowed to say anything, but they have to do the song and dance. And apparently, like, kids would try to beat the shit out of this Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, no. That doesn't surprise me at all.
And there was this one time where an employee finally takes off the mask and goes, what the fuck are you doing? And they go, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were animatronic.
Oh my god! You thought they were a robot, so you punched the shit out of them. Yeah, like okay, fuck yeah.
That's okay. That's how I get about like AI. Like, do AI have rights? And I'm like, no. Back in your box, machine, and I beat the shit out of them.
Well, like again, we'll worry about that if a full generative intelligence shows up, because right now they're just so fucking perfect. There was another one where someone used AI to write a cease and desist letter.
Wow.
And they didn't fill in like the blank examples for it's like the examples of your libelous materials include, and there was just semicolon, enter. Anyway, libel constitutes the like.
You know, so I'm sure everybody else did, but I got invited to this like Google Workspace beta. Mm-hmm. That's like just their answer to ChatGPT, but in Microsoft Word or
yeah,
in
so to scrape
Google
more
Docs.
Of your data, yeah.
Yeah, no, which is why like, if I'm not writing Blood Meridian Warhammer 40K crossover fan fiction, I'm not using Google Docs anymore. Because they're just ripping anything I type in there and feeding it to the AI. Oh, yeah. However, I'm very disappointed in it right now because it goes, what would you like me to write? And I went, I would like you to write a story where a Death Watch kill team kills a group of Marxist gene stealer cults. And its response was, sorry, I can't do that yet. And I went, then you're worthless.
Then what even do you have to say to me? Right? Like, yeah. And for reference, that's because that's my gene stealer cult that he is
it's going to be amazing. It also got us not deep in, okay, I would say not in the racist way, but it's definitely got our eyes open in the context of phrenology. We're thinking it may not be as data science as we thought it was.
Well, it's just like the fucking like Trotsky and Lenin's and there's another motherfucker.
And the Guevara's.
Yeah, they got a very specific like noggin shape once they go bald, but you're like, you got a huge dome and a tiny goatee, motherfucker. Like, what is going on with this?
Yeah,
they were rocking the mega mind aesthetic, right?
Like, yeah, they all have that kind of weird Cro-Magnon look and then like an inability to grow significant facial hair.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, you're like, if we fucking go to, like, and it's like, well, it's because they come from the same ethnic and social classes. No, they fucking don't! That's the fucking weird thing, is that it's like, this dude is, like, like Chilean indigenous. This dude is fucking like just a whole-blooded Slav, like Slav. This dude is like Hasidic Jewish, right? Like, and yet, like at the point where you become like a great thinker of fucking 19th century like socialist thought, you just decide that like the dome must grow, right?
Yeah, you spend a lot of time. I know what's happening is they spend a lot of time looking at globes. Going, that is where the revolution will take place, and they just spin the globe, right?
Yes,
and
we need a bigger international for a bigger planet, yeah.
And then they stare at it, and they go, I know what I must do. And then, like, their skull just turns into the globe that they've been in. Like, they've osmosis the shape, and they're like, and when you look at me, know how far the revolution must spread.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single no-quit sign to be had, brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Just kidding. We will actually put up, because it's socialism in one country, we will actually put up no quit signs, because it's actually reactionary for you to want to quit your job once you work for the state, to be clear.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, that. Okay. That reminds me. I'm going to gatekeep your guys' depictions of fucking China now, by the way. Everything you think you know about China is wrong. And this loops back to weird gatekeeping, right?
We've got like one fucking like listener in like actual fucking Wuhan, and they're like, motherfucker, come on.
Okay, this guy, that dude in Wuhan, who, okay, I'm sorry, he probably hasn't seen the sun in 5 years. and he's just sitting there with his mask listening, going, soon I can see my family again. And that has nothing to do with the CCP or China, by the way. I just feel really bad for that Wuhan had, like, that rotating door fucking totalitarian quarantine situation. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad for those people. How weird must it be to look outside and go, oh, the segues with the awfully, awfully chlorine-looking chemicals are spraying again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I miss my family. I hope they're alive. But shout out to you, Wuhan guy. No, that dude gets to write about China because he actually gets it. The rest of you are dumbasses. Okay? I've seen your China fiction, and, like, all of it is... God, I'm going to get so many notes from people inviting me to Antifa servers after this episode. Okay. You people...
This is a great episode for, like, secret, like, leftist chat.
Okay, I swear to fucking God I hate egalitarianism and fucking fair wages, okay? Swear to God.
You're like, look, hierarchies are inherent, okay?
Yeah, look, as far as I'm concerned, only two people get to run a company, the CEO's son and a lobster, okay? anything else, just not qualified. But, like, when you people write about fucking China every single time, it's through this... wrong lens of Mao Zedong. Every time. Down to the fact that, like, you think that the Tiananmen Square massacre, and now the Wuhan guy can't listen anymore.
Dang it.
You think, he's all like, damn, that was such a good episode, too. you think that that's, like, Maoists putting people down because they want freedom. When, like, that's not the case at all. That was the beginning of the anti-Maoism. Well, not really the beginning. It's more complex than that. But for the context of this conversation, think of it that way, because we're working baby steps here.
Yeah, I would say that the beginning of anti-Maoism was probably, like, before Mao was born, right? Like,
yeah. Well, like, if we want to, like, make it really specific, we can say that there's, like, the Ma clique and Chiang Kai-shek probably had something to do with it. China is not cool with Mao Zedong anymore, right? And you're like, but I've seen his posters everywhere. Yeah, no fucking shit. It's called a cult of personality. They're also purging 90% of what he said from their books because they're like, that was fucking stupid. Yeah, that was pretty stupid too. The shit about the sparrows. What the fuck is with this guy and the sparrows? That's going. But you have a wrong idea about what Mao Zedong and his politics were like, and you just impose that on, like, modern-day China, and then you put, like, this weird... This time I'm using the term... Seriously, you impose, like, this weird Sinophobic concept on them where, okay, this relates very directly to what I was about to say about gatekeeping, which is that people, like, form these collective myths and then gatekeep, like, conversation around whether or not you align to this bizarre fucking urban legend. There was this very common one that says, well, like, did you know you're not allowed to depict bones anywhere in China? That's why World of Warcraft had to censor all of its bones. And it's like, what? Okay, that's just objectively not true. Have you consumed any Chinese media? I've eaten General Tso's chicken. Okay.
Oh, God.
I think I'm pretty qualified. Okay. Their view of bones, by the way, just to clarify this for anybody that still drinks that bizarre fucking Kool-Aid, their thing about bones is kind of like people saying the word ass. It's like, okay, maybe the kids don't need to see it if they're like seven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you don't get banned from China for depicting a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nor, as the people have said, is queerness fucking, like, stochastically verboten, right? Like,
or ghosts.
And this is the fucking, yeah, because there's a fucking, like, hang on, let's go watch this fucking movie, Yin Yang Master, which is about a gay ghost fighting fucking Chinese wizard, right? Like,
what the hell is that book that, what the hell is that book that we were just talking about that's about the gay Chinese gods?
Heaven's Chosen Whatever and Mo Dao Zushi, Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation. These are both in the genre of Dan May, which in English translates to gay as hell.
And so, like, okay, you're not going to see a lot of mainstream horror movies that come out of mainland China. The reason,
but you're also not going to see a lot of movies, period, that come out of mainland China. In,
right, like, unless
situation.
It's, like, a very specific kind of movie, because the state gets to decide what you make and what you don't make. And anytime the state is involved in anything, as low as the DMV, as high as fucking, well, China stuff, I won't get too political, right? they fucking micromanage it and mismanage it and shit until, like, it's this precise simulacrum of what they think they want. So this is why you get things like the Seven Brothers approved, because it builds up the nobility of, like, Chinese mythos.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool movie, by the way. Honestly, not bad.
Yeah, Chinese cinema kind of rocks, by the way. If you haven't watched any Chinese language movies, get on that, right? Like, but I think that there's a bigger... another issue is just, like, people generally don't watch, like, foreign language movies, right?
Yeah,
so that, like,
which means you're also missing out with Korean cinema, and I'm not just talking about things like Old Boy. I'm talking about shit like Admiral Roaring Currents, a fucking movie so goddamn good that it has a 45-minute battle scene, and you're still going, more! I want more!
Fuck yeah. And this lack of shit in translation is a big part of what lets people gatekeep what is and is not, like, as a Chinese character, right? Like,
right. Yeah,
literally doing, like, phrenology, because, like, oh, yeah, you know how bad China is? You can't show a skeleton. It's like, you can show a skeleton, idiot, right?
You can show a gay skeleton dicking another skeleton.
You literally can. I don't know why this is complicated.
Right, like, what you can't do is own real estate.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But yes, or have a multinational operating without a Chinese equity partner, right? Like, you, like, yeah. These are the specific rules, and, like, like, the functionality of this is allows people to assert, like, I don't know if it's like ego protection, that it's like saying, well, like, well, the U.S. is great because we can show gayness, right? Like, or if it's because that we're just so, like, coded with some, like, xenophobia baked in that we need to, like, justify it with all these, like, complex ideologies where it's like, no, like, they could, like, it's like the most popular book in China for, like, 2 years running. It's about, like, gay wizards. I swear to God, they're just wizards that love each other so much that, like, it opens with the one, like, committing suicide because the other one has been killed, and then they reincarnate and fall in love again. That's the whole story, right? Like, it's not fucking, like, will they or won't they shit, where he's like, my final love, my truest love, like, Achilles was the twink, and that's a poem, and he writes it too. Yeah.
Well, and this results in, like, so much creative gatekeeping. Right? Mm-hmm. Where it's all like, that's not an appropriate depiction of China. What the fuck do you know about China? Like, what do you actually know about them? Well, let me tell you about the bones. Don't you tell me about the bones, I'll fucking kill
you.
I swear
to God, if you tell me about the fucking bones. Like, and this actually leads directly to my next premise, and that's like gatekeeping queerness in general. And I think that this is a really critical thing because it relates to something we were talking about in the past, where it relates to reads versus shipping and stuff. In those two articles I linked, which are by the same person in the same publication, titles, of course I have to reopen the fucking Discord.
Final Fantasy XVI's gay romance disappoints. Dion and Terrence's relationship is lovely, but falls victim to video games' continued hesitance to spotlight queer men. And then the next one is Horizon Forbidden West lets Aloy kiss someone, and it's a lady. Until the Burning Shores DLC, flirting dialogue options haven't solidified a romance for Aloy. Let me also point out, by the way, this is Western timidity. We're way more timid about this shit. In the same conversation, Sean and I were also talking about how this country has, like, extreme dickophobia. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. Like, did you see the moral panic over the idea that Cillian Murphy's penis was on the set of Oppenheimer? But it doesn't, like, actually appear in the film. They're just all like, okay, that was close. Guys, it's in the vicinity. Yeah. It's somewhere in the... I think it may be in his thigh region.
Where they got a dowsing rod out, like, tuned. Don't worry. We got this one attuned to, like, the hardest wood we can. It'll detect any dicks in the presence, right?
Meanwhile, you've got, like, fucking Japan that's just out there where they're like, world's greatest first love. It's about five manga editors, and they're gay as fuck for each other, right? And they're just, like, way fucking ahead of us. The reason that Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn and Forbidden West hasn't had many romance options, by the way, this is just a little insider secret, it's because producers are fucking timid as fuck, and they're terrified that what'll happen is some dude will be playing that. And there are absolutely dudes like this, don't get me wrong. There's not as many as you think there are, but they're out there that are gonna fucking lose their shit if Aloy has the option to, like, ever make out with a dude, and then the dude's gonna be like, but I'm playing Aloy, so now I'm gay!
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important corollary in this space, that we were talking about it as it relates to, like, gender and queerness. But the crucial thing here is that Horizon Forbidden West is legal in Saudi Arabia, and Final Fantasy 16 isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to go too deep into how queer gatekeeping works in this. Like, it directly correlates to the number one most upvoted videos on Pornhub next to the number one most downvoted videos on Pornhub.
Yeah. And the corollary here is that the aversion that they're talking about, and it's disappointing, is that it doesn't center on their romance, right? Like, these characters, it definitely set their... The core of their arc is their romance, right? But it's not Clive's romance that is gay, right? Like, and the thing is that this is a good way to tell a gay story in this space, right? Because I'm betting you understand some subtext of that that lead there, where it says, until the Burning Shores DLC flirting dialogue options haven't solidified a romance for Aloy. I put it in audible scare quotes. What do you think happens when the other girl confesses her love for Aloy?
Tell me.
A little dialogue box comes up and says, like, oh my god, I feel the same way. And then it has a line underneath it that says, I think we should just be friends. So you have just, like, you have a big just, like, heterosexual button, like, available to just, like, smash right there, right? Or Ace or A-Rom or whatever, right?
I like the idea of, like, Aloy is a good Catholic girl in the post-apocalyptic New West. Thank you very much.
Yeah, she prays to Jesus and then kills the robo-carnifex, right? Like, yes, and this is the fucking thing, is that, like, the Aloy romance option is entirely optional because you can just opt out of it, right? And people are saying, and the author goes on to say, well, this allows some sad people to say that Aloy isn't really queer. And it's like, yes, it literally does that. It allows you to say Aloy is straight, right? Like, that there's a button that says Aloy is straight that you can hit, right? Like, I don't understand, right? And meanwhile, like, the queerness of Final Fantasy 16, wherein gay characters are like, I love you, you are my beautiful husband, I have to go serve as the icon of Bahamut now. And he goes off and serves as the icon of Bahamut, and then they kiss, and then he does, like, a fucking, like, taking care of his wounds in, like, the semi-nude, like, arming sequence. Like, this is gay. This is like capital G, capital A, capital Y, right? Like, and it's like, no, it's because they have like a pan away when they start to kiss. So you,
right,
and,
so, okay, only fucking Kotaku could write a dialogue saying this isn't gay at all. You don't see penetration.
Yeah, oh well, but the fucking thing is that the one in Horizon Forbidden West is entirely dialogue options, and then within the in a DLC, right, so that they can fundamentally protect Aloy's like marketability, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Final Fantasy 16,
absolutely.
Yeah, whereas Final Fantasy 16 is like, yes, prepare for homosexuality, bam, and that's why it's fucking banned in countries that are fucking properly socially conservative at these levels, right? That it's like, it is no shit illegal to be gay, right?
Hey,
like,
we're fans of our Wuhan friend. Reactionary countries.
Ah, yes, there we go. yes, and this like functions to split like what it's like the whole porn thing. It's like, oh, I'll know it when I see it, right? Like, well, fucking, you've clearly disavowed that like certain things is like effective queer representation when it's portraying male romance. And I hypothesize that it is literally because of what you said, Chad, that it's like, okay, if we have a female protagonist, she needs to be gay because like Jeff from fucking Montana is going to be playing this game on his new PS5 and he's going to feel like a homo if Aloy kisses a man, right? Like, yeah.
Well, everybody who is on the internet lives under the specter of 4chan and knows what 4chan is.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are aware of what Reddit is. Now, Reddit spent a very, very, very long time trying to curate an image of being like the good, tolerant, progressive ideal. When Egypt was having its like revolution and shit like that, and they were posting on Reddit like, please help us Americans, they're all patting themselves on the back. I'm not even fucking kidding you. There was like this picture of a protest and it was somebody saying, I'm posting this to every social media, please help us America, we want our freedom just like you. And the top comment with like 40,000 gold coins thrown at it was somebody saying, to the people of Egypt, we are with you. And it's like, holy fuck, that my skeleton cringed out of my fucking man flesh. And I pooled onto the ground as my skeleton ran away.
Just gooped out, yeah.
Yeah, so Reddit spent a long time trying to, like, curate that image. And 4chan brought it down with one single fucking image. And that's right before Mass Effect 3 came out. They created this collage of fake, digitally edited promotional material for Mass Effect 3 featuring lead writer Jennifer Hepler. And one of the quote they put in as many things that they knew would piss off Reddit gamer bros as they possibly could, such as we're putting in a system where you can just press X to skip the gameplay and get straight to the dialogue and the stories, but the creme de la creme, sometimes 4chan is so good at the subtlety when they do this shit, they left in this one part that was a fake quote by lead writer Jennifer Hepler, who, by the way, wasn't the lead writer. That was Mac Walters. quote by lead writer Jennifer Hepler, we're also excited to announce that Shepard can opt in to be straight. Now, Reddit lost its fucking mind when they saw that. They were so unbelievably mad at Opt-in Shepard that she ended up having to leave BioWare because people from Reddit were sending her pictures of her kid's school.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, like,
we did it, Reddit.
Right? Like, until finally, like, after 48 hours of fucking riots in the streets, finally somebody goes, you know that's a troll post from 4chan, right? But the glass house was broken. The emperor was naked in the streets. You're assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a great example of that type of thing coming up.
Yeah, and, like, I think that that's a kind of a thing, is that, like, of course that's fucking facetious, because, like, Mass Effect's whole premise is, like, yeah, you can fuck it, right? Like, don't worry about it, bud. Like, of course you can get that shit done, right? Like, and most people wouldn't even fucking see that shit because they'd roll up a girl character and then romance Liara, right? Like, yeah. That's just the law. That's,
yeah, because, like, remember, it was declared fucking canon law that what Mass Effect is a lesbian alien sex simulator.
Mm-hmm. Was it Fox News who said that, or was that
somebody on Fox News with what's his name from GameSpot, Jeff Keighley. And it's really, really, really funny because there are still people to this day that are like, people are scared of the Mass Effect style backlash. A, no, they aren't. When Dante's Inferno came out, EA had to hire fake Christians to protest it because of a lack of supply. And like, if you've ever played Cyberpunk, the sex scenes in that, especially like if you're a woman, you lay back and get bent half over as a dude fucking rails you. Okay? Like, this shit is on now. That Jeff Keighley plus that crazed fucking woman who admitted that she never played Mass Effect, but she's heard serious things about it.
Serious things.
That was the biggest fucking black eye to, like, the conservative Hillary Clinton anti-video game alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just been, like, doors wide open now. And Mass Effect 3 are such fucking pussies that during one of the lesbian romances, this girl gets up and is all like, I'll finish the chess game later. I'm gonna go take a shower. And she strips down to, like, her fucking bra and panties and gets in the shower and bathes. And I'm like, what is this cowardice? But this also... Oh, go ahead.
Don't want to get banned in Saudi Arabia, obviously, right? Like...
So I've been very curious lately about what makes, like, fiction and characters gay. Like, from a mechanical perspective. And if I can do it myself. As one who is not of the persuasion.
Not a member of the Alphabet Mafia.
Yeah, not a member of the Alphabet Mafia. I draw the progressive line at no quit signs, guys. Okay? Everything else is, like, all Ronald Reagan. The goddamn trickle-down economics aren't trickling down the socialism to me fast enough. And I'm increasingly coming to the conclusion that things like this Final Fantasy 16 thing are gay as fuck, and things like literally sloppily making out with Steve in Mass Effect 3 is not gay. And, like, the presence of two dicks rubbing is somehow, like, just not gay.
Not a factor, right? Like, it's less of a concluding factor than, like, other aesthetics of queerness.
Right.
And, like,
well,
of those Chinese things that we were talking about. How does it end, Marjorie?
With the poems to each other? The boys were writing poems to each other, the gay poems?
Yeah, they write poems on arrows and then fire them at each other as they sail away from each other. And I'm like, okay, that is the most homoerotic thing that's ever been done. Right?
There's a really weird, to kind of top this all off on the gatekeeping thing, there's like this really fucking weird kind of gatekeeping where people expect these certain weird binary mechanical executions. And this recently came up to, like, my narrative heartbreak in Warhammer 40K of all fucking places, right? Where I don't know what it is. Maybe you can help me on this. There's this guy named Commissar Yerrick, right? And what Commissar Yerrick's whole thing as a character is that he's a commissar and he really fucking hates orcs. And that's about it. I have, like, my gaydar has gone off on him as, like, I have just found that downed Malaysian airline, and I'm, like, desperately trying to tell somebody. And I have no idea why it was that my gaydar was going off so hard on him, because all he does is come out and shoot a laser eye at orcs, right? And then it's confirmed that he's gay. And I'm like, whoa! This shit fucking... Man, hanging out at Hillcrest has really calibrated this thing.
Hillcrest is awesome.
But then... I'm like, and I'm telling Sean, in real time, I'm like, oh, I was right. Commissar Yerrick is gay. And then they're like, his lover was a fellow officer who died to an orc, and that's why he hates him so much. Oh, and it just became bad gay.
Yes.
right? And I was, like, so fucking frustrated because that is often, like, the victim of gatekeeping, where it's all like, well, if he's gay, he has to have a peer that he's gay with, and... if he, like, really hates something, the thing he hates has to have taken his boyfriend. This comes up, like, even among budding, like, gay authors and shit like that. And it's funny because I'm like, you just did killing your bury your gays with, like, extra steps.
Yeah, like, you literally fucking time traveled killing your gays, right? Like, ex-post gay, right?
Like, meanwhile, to me, like, when I'm thinking of Commissar Yerrick and, like, the fact that he's gay, I'm thinking that he hasn't had a boyfriend in, like, 400 fucking years. right? And like the entire reason he truly, if you want to make this really gay, the entire reason he truly abhors the orc with such a feverish passion is because they're constantly here and he has to kill them and he's doing war shit with them. And that's interrupting what he really wants to do, which is to go hang out with like his young, sexy artist by the fountains or something. But that can never be because of these fucking orcs. So I'm just going to keep cutting through them. I don't know. I'm not gay, but that sounds way gayer than the dude whose dick I like sucking was killed by an orc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1,000,000%.
And we don't need more dead gays. We just don't. Yeah,
like, please just stop. Like, especially if they were never a character, that you're just, like, establishing them as dead, right? Like, it's like, look, we got hauntological queerness. That's better. You like both those things, right? And it's like, no!
Speaking of similar and almost alloy gatekeeping, then I found out that, like, who wrote the Caiaphas Cain novels? Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe it is... Was it Sandy Mitchell? Yes, it was Sandy Mitchell.
Sandy Mitchell included...
real name Alex Stewart, to be clear.
Okay. We'll use his preferred authorial name in this one, since I'm already, like, six layers fucking deep in progressivism this particular episode. That's a joke at my expense. I'm not fucking hating on... fucking this shit. Anyway, so Sandy Mitchell includes a couple of lesbians in these novels, also about a commissar. So apparently commissars just like fucking, when they shoot somebody, a confetti of rainbows comes out of them.
Yes, that's the confirmed game fact.
Yeah, so there's a couple of lesbians in it. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, it has LGBT representation. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to look this up. And I'm pretty sure her name is Marie Mago. I choose to believe the lesbian is not named Private Maggot. I'm like, okay, let's find out what Marie Mago is all like. And it turns out that what it says is she's a petite, fiery redhead with an attitude and a pretty face. I'm like, ah, of course.
The stock, like literally,
of course.
Being daring today, are we, right?
like fucking exactly. And it's like that's like weirdly gate. I would think that that's probably more the hetero bro gatekeeping that causes that. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's absolutely a consequence in real-world fucking narratives of gatekeeping shit. It's like, okay, I think lesbians are pretty cool, but they gotta be at least a 7. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. Anything below a 7, right, and it's gay again.
Yeah, and that was your point, Marjorie, is that there's, that, like, you need to be, like, a very particular kind of, like, queer-coded, like, super high femme to be, like... literally acceptable, right?
Yeah, like the kind of, if you don't look queer and people like me, like I'm a high femme and I'm bisexual, and like it's really hard for some people to like know that I'm bisexual and like girls because I don't appear to. But if you look like, you know, if you're more butch, and I used to be butch back in the day, I had like a butch phase. If you like chop all your hair off and wear your like wife beaters and your flannels and skateboard and shit like that.
It was not a good phase though.
It was not a good phase. It didn't look good on me. That's why I went away from it. Butches are hot, and I've met so many hot butches, and like I'm just not one of them. I'm a femme, so you know. But we don't, the queers don't like you if you're too femme. They don't understand that you're queer, and then the straights don't like you if you look too gay.
Mm-hmm. That you have to cut a very, very narrow line, and that usually ends up with hot, fiery redheads.
My good friend that we have alluded to was telling me about this one time a very mean, angry butch was yelling at her for being high femme, and she's all like, she said something to the effect of all like, lipstick lesbians, like, they're not actually real, and they don't actually hook up with anybody, and my friend goes, yeah, we do. We just have sex with each other. Right? Like, where have you been? Oh, right, not with us. Which that's just her way. She is, okay, so she's like 5'3", but she'll fight anything. Right? We talk about her like she's a little billy goat, and like the giant comes and she just leaps and headbutts.
Phenomenal. So yes, I think that this has been an episode. We didn't get to as much of the concrete gatekeeping in these communities as I.
No, but we'll saturate it in on like our next episode, where we'll be like, by the way, here's a bunch of examples, and anyway, here's about why like, fucking Lancelot was gay as fuck.
Yeah, we bounced off my Warhammer one. Either you have any specific examples you wanna mention before we play us out?
I have like a real world example of gatekeeping in the very most obvious like way of money.
Yeah, fire away. We're not that far over.
Okay. I've seen in the poetry community lately, like, some posts about, like, a new venue opening up. And I saw that there was a poetry reading at the venue, and someone who read there, like, it was a mostly published authors and then, like, a few open mic slots. And, like, how does one get this open mic slot, I wonder? And you scroll back through the pictures of this venue, and you see that one of the open mic readers bought everything on the menu. Like, one ordered one of everything because this person is an heiress. Like, this person has millions of dollars. And apparently how you get a slot at the first reading of a new venue is to give the venue a bunch of money.
Like, a lot.
I thought you kicked the... I thought it's not... Okay, I thought above a certain income level, you're not allowed to be a poet anymore.
No, right. That would be a good impression, right? But nope.
I mean...
So that's why they all buy fucking fatigued jeans or whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah, they're getting the fucking, like, Yeezys that make you look homeless, right? Like,
holy shit.
Yeah.
It was just very clear, like, just the clearest, the crispest example of, like, how money can get you a slot as, like, a quote-unquote writer. Like, it's at that point, it wasn't even, like, a publication that got this person a slot. It was just spending a huge amount of money at a place. They're like, okay, now you're a writer here, and we're going to just, like... And this happens with visual art, too. This is not just simply writing. I've also seen, like, visual artists get put in a gallery because the gallery wants money from that artist, if it's a rich artist.
I'm curious if that level of gatekeeping will exist, or if, like, I can burst through my current gatekeeping thing. Like, is there an income level that will get me past the lifetime ban from the all-you-can-eat Indian place?
I mean, I think the problem is that it's all you can eat, right? Yeah, like,
I'm like, don't challenge the bull if you won't risk the horns.
Yeah.
And so... My basic conclusion that I'll say, like, about this fucking gatekeeping stuff is that the only time it's really valid to genuinely gatekeep is if you have, like, a serious critical argument to back it up. Otherwise, let them roam free and even be stupid.
Mm-hmm. And, Chad, did you have any specific examples you wanted to bring up from the worlds of Discord and Reddit?
Most specifically, I want to bring up all of these fucking people that are, like, actually quashing the capacity to enjoy international media because they have, like, these really batshit insane reads on, like, Hayao Miyazaki. Because I just watched Castle in the Sky for the first time. Excellent movie. Excellent movie. Yeah. And, like, it's a sensory joy in, like, every way. And it's using storytelling in an extraordinarily efficient way. And if you don't like three-act structures, don't watch that movie. Because you can, like, literally see the exact moment Act 1 ends and Act 2 begins. It's fucking hilarious. But, like, I'm reading these batshit fucking insane takes where people are like, well, you know, what's really important to understand is, first of all, you have to understand Hayao Miyazaki's intent. Which is really funny because Hayao Miyazaki doesn't give a fuck what you think about his intent, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, watch my movies, right? And there's so much to unpack from that. And they'll say these batshit insane things, like, all of his movies are about how war has to be stopped at all costs, right? And, like, no, they none of them are. Like, a huge part of, like, fucking... Okay, one of the core parts of Castle in the Sky is that maybe it's time to do violence, but you take the sin of violence upon yourself.
Yeah, maybe it's time to kill a motherfucker, right?
Yeah. And his name is Mark Hamill. spoiler for Castle in the Sky, Hayao Miyazaki's perhaps magnum opus.
30-year-old movie, right?
But,
yeah.
So, and I see, like, this gatekeeper is like, no, that's not what that's about. What the fuck, who the fuck made you the fucking dean of Miyazaki bodies? Right? No, you should be inviting conversation on this, especially because, like, when you look at the complex layers that make up a Miyazaki film, and all of the things that go into it, going into the fact that, like, he doesn't have a high opinion of war, but he understands that sometimes it's necessary, but he also says, let's face the ugly, brutal reality of it. Right? Like, don't overly sanitize it the way Americans do, where it's like, it's really cool, we invented bombs that only hit bad people. It checks your alignment before detonating. right? Like, or, no, it's okay because Chris Kyle once held a fucking Cabbage Patch Kid. And, like, you know, like, unfortunately, American cinema is, like, fucking rife with that shit, whereas Hayao Miyazaki is all, like, I don't know, sometimes you gotta shoot a motherfucker and you should probably feel bad about it because you just killed somebody. Right? Like, mm-hmm. Dude's dead. He's never going to be undead now, right? Because we haven't invented ethical necromancy yet. But I digress. These types of people, it stifles creativity. It tells people to not look deeper into things because when they're like, you didn't get what that movie was about. Really, it was about one thing, and you cracked the code, and you're sitting there at the front of the bar with the felt rope checking IDs before you let people see what the movie was about. Fuck you, how's that sound?
That sounds phenomenal, and I think that is an episode. Right in the description for this episode, there will be a link to all of our socials, as well as the Discord, where we're trying to build the writing community that will have a W, but at the moment, you can contribute to it by joining up yourself.
Yeah, I'm also thinking, we're going to feel this out, and we're going to talk to the Discord about it. I'm thinking of either doing some live, some podcast, episodic, live streamed, or YouTube videos, where, ever since I talked about it, I've got the urge to tutor again.
Nice.
But I'm thinking of polishing it up as coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking like John Madden O's and X's and lines here. Right?
Like just fucking share.
Fucking drawing around a paragraph and like putting an X and be like, so what would you say the play here was to go with this paragraph? Okay. No, so this paragraph is connected to this paragraph, and I don't know what the hell these sentences here. They're always, not doing anything.
Okay, it's always play the option and then have like a zero blitz play for when someone realizes that you always play the option. That's it. Okay. Madden is a fucked up game, let's say that. Yes, it would be really helpful if you could leave a positive review on this episode, maybe share with a friend, maybe just like it on wherever you're listening to. That would help us a ton. And we are looking into getting a Patreon going soon, TM. But obviously that presents its own kind of problems. We promise that this fortnightly version of the podcast will always be free to you, the listener. But above all else, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.